Hi everyone. So I am here to present my talk on high performance Jupyter notebooks with Jasper. About me, I am an open source contributor. I've been contributing since 2016. And this is my second FOSDEM talk. Last one was in JRuby. And these are my GitHub and X URLs. So as you all might have used Jupyter in your work, and you might have found certain problems related to the performance. Like a lot of times you might see the sessions crashing, the notebook becomes unresponsive, especially if you are using it on a Jupyter Hub instance and you have assigned very lesser RAM or less CPU. So like, and the kernel dies and sometimes you lose your work. So yeah, like this was me, like I was facing such issues. So I thought that, can I make it better? And so the project Jasper was born. And also it handles other problems like scalability issues. And it has a better user experience. And in terms of packaging, Jasper is a single binary, just 8 MB of size. So yeah, it's very, like it ships small, and it also has much better performance compared to JupyterLab. So I'll explain this in more. So yeah, in terms of performance, Jasper uses 500% less CPU than JupyterLab, and around 4,000% less RAM. Plus, it's much faster than JupyterLab. That the responses are instantaneous. It has ultra low latency, and the kernel startup time is also very fast. And it has higher throughput. And yeah, you can handle much more kernels than JupyterLab. So if you are like running an HPC cluster and you are using a kernel gateway, it can easily handle around 100 kernels, whereas Jupyter handles just around 64 kernels. So yeah, there are proper benchmarks that I'll show you and that you can run on your machine, and you can verify this. So this is how a JupyterLab architecture looks like. So we have this in the center, the Jupyter server, and on the rightmost part, we have this Python kernels or Jupyter kernels. Kernels can be either in IPython or Ruby or Julia or R kernels. The center part is Jupyter server, like JupyterLab. So whenever the backend is built in Tornado. Tornado is something like it helps you run asynchronous coroutines. Plus we have this the front end, which is built in Lumino and React. So yeah, and how Jasper differs from there is like not much changes. We wrote the backend in Go backend. And we have a custom React front end here, very lightweight. So yeah, and rest of these things are like the Jupyter kernels is the same from what JupyterLab does it. And we have a zero MQ is like a communication library. Like if you want to communicate on two sockets, you use zero MQ. And for the message not being lost, zero MQ provides something called a message queue. So like if a client or a server goes down, the messages are not lost. So that makes zero MQ really cool. And while JupyterLab uses PyZMQ, Python-based zero MQ, we have a Go native zero MQ. So it's not connected to the C bindings, it's directly written in Go, whereas PyZMQ uses C-based UMQ within it. So let's going to the benchmarks. So if you see the RAM uses, so how I've done benchmarks is, let's say whenever you open a JupyterLab screen and you launch an IPython notebook. And at that point of time, a notebook opens up, but in the backend, the Jupyter server launches a Jupyter kernel. So this is a different process. And this process, the server and the Jupyter kernel, they communicate to each other via zero MQ sockets. So to benchmark this under stress, what I do is I try to create a lot of notebooks. For example, there are 0, 20, 40, 60, 80, 100 on the x-axis, and we try to bombard it with messages. So like if you have, let's say 50 notebooks open, so there would be 50 small IPython processes open. Now you have to communicate with them. So what I try to do is at max, I do a 10 messages per second to per kernel. So that means if you have 50 kernels open, I am bombarding it with 500 messages per second. And we see that how many kernels die and whether the Jupyter server will crash or not. So this we try to do it. As you can see, in terms of CPU uses, we are at 0.8%, and Jupyter is in blue color, whereas Jasper is in blue color. So it's at 2.7. So as we go, we increase the number of kernels. So for higher number of kernels, you can see that the blue line, it goes around till 12.5%, but in terms of Jupyter, it goes up, and then you can see after 64, it goes down. This is basically because the Jupyter server was crashing, like a lot of kernels went down, and that's why you see the losing performance. But if this used kept going up. So yeah, and Jasper on the other hand, no kernels were lost. So yeah. In terms of memory usage, you can see that there is in terms of Jasper, there is a flat line. So we are always near 20.2 MBs. But for Jupyter, you can see it keeps growing. Like at the last one, you can see that it crossed even 1,000 MBs of RAM. And at that point, even some of the kernels crashed. So yeah. So how do we do this? Let's say in Python, we have something called cooperative single-threaded routines, coroutines. So let's say if we have something, an IO blocking thing, like in Jupyter server, most of the thing is like we try to communicate with the kernel. The kernel does the CPU thing, but like CPU bound task, but the server, Jupyter server, is mostly responsible for receiving the message from the client, getting the message to the kernel, and replying back. So in that cases, you try to run most of these messages as an asynchronous coroutine. So these coroutines are like they run in a, like it runs in the event loop executor, like you submit that to the event loop. But this event loop, like even though you have created a new thread, it will run in the same on the same core. Like it's like the GIL doesn't allow Python to run it on a separate thread. So that's why you start getting this performance drops. Whereas in terms of Go, we are using a preemptive lightweight green thread. So you can all use all your CPU cores at once. So this is the major reason for why we are getting such a amazing performance boost. Scheduling is done in Go via this Go runtime scheduler. While in async IO, we are using the event loop. Now we have this blocking behavior in Go routines, but asynchronous IO, these must not block, and they are like, they need to be cooperative. And so you have some non-blocking, you must use await or futures, and then we have to wait for these messages. So yeah, this is how we are getting the performance boost. Now, what are the benefits? You get much improved responsiveness in Jasper. It's very lightweight, 8 MBs of a binary package that you can just run. And for enterprises, it has a much better cost efficiency and better scalability. Yes, before this, I'd like to show you this, the benchmark report. Like, it's not trust me, bro. You can just run it on your machines. And the entire code for benchmarking is here. And I did it on my Mac Mini M4 with 16 MBs of RAM. So these are like different plots for like 10 RPS, like 10 messages per kernel, 2 kernels, 4 kernels. Then you keep going down. Then I do it for 100 kernels and 10 RPS. Then I go for 100 RPS, like 100 messages being sent to each kernel. So 2 kernels, 4 kernels. Yeah. And there is also like why sometimes Jasper crashes and why Jupyter crashes. And yeah. Apart from that, this is the demo. Like this is how when you load a Jasper instance, it looks like this. I create a Python 3 project. I run ls 2+2. You can run all kind of Jupyter kernels like C-based, C++-based, Julia-based. Yeah, just follow the docs on our website. And let's say I had to show a faster kernel startup time and just click on this, all the cells will run. You can see like this is much faster than Jupyter. And yeah, That's all. Acknowledgements to FOSS United and Zerodha for supporting this project. I worked on this for 1 year full time, and these orgs were very helpful to me in funding this project. And yeah, thanks. Questions?
Right, time for a question. Maybe even two. We're doing well on time. Yeah.
So in terms of authentication,
yeah.
You want me to tell you how we do authentication in Jupyter servers. So if the Jupyter kernel is a process, you don't need authentication there. If you have to put an authentication, you have to put it on top of the Zasper server. And you if you run it via the Zasper CLI with mode minus protected is equal to true, then you will have a login screen there. You log in and then you can go ahead. Okay, you can.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So right now we have allowed something like access token, like you set up randomly, and it's on random. You just copy it, and then you can share it with like how Jupyter does it. And for more your custom ways, you have to improve the code, and then you can run it.
I have a quick question as well. How is this received in the Jupyter community? Have you gotten any feedback from them?
Yeah. So there are like two Jupyter contributors here. And the community was very supportive, and I am also like acknowledge them, because it's not this work is based on the top of Jupyter Wire protocol, and I just didn't invent something new, but I just implemented it in a new way. And I received some good feedback from the maintainers, and they're very helpful.
Okay, excellent. Thanks a lot.